Hey everybody, and welcome back to We the Haunted. This is episode 7.
Episode 7.
Let's go. I am Trevor Haunted Faith, and we have
Lily, the one and only.
Hell yeah. And today we're going to be continuing our journey of talking about haunted and legendary areas that are relatively near us before we start to branch out to the worldwide locations. And today's episode is going to be about the Bell Witch Cave. Very notorious to the area around us and somewhat to the world like as a whole. But I'm going to let the amazing Lily take it over to start it off, so
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Hold the applause, everybody. Hold the applause. Oh man, guys. So Bell Witch is very a notable haunting. So much so that it is actually a national landmark for its supernatural hauntings, which is insane. There's not a lot of
Yes.
places like that unless it has something tied to it, like how Waverly Hills has the tuberculosis
Yeah.
tied to it, so therefore it has something tied, something else tied to it. But Bell Witch has nothing else tied to it other than that it was just notorious for its haunting, which is awesome that it's even a national mark, But Bell Witch takes place in Adams, Tennessee. If anybody knows, that is right above Nashville, Tennessee. And it's actually only 45-ish minutes away from me. I think it's about a little over an hour away from I am, which is where I live in Bowling Green. So it's not far. It's not very far at all. So knowing that that was so close to me, I was like, ooh, it makes me want to go now.
And we've been talking about, well, weeks ago we were doing, I think it was we were doing a podcast episode on Baker's Hollow Road or Pilot's Knob or something. And after we stopped recording that episode, we were talking about the future of future episodes and stuff. And we were saying like we should do a special episode at the Bellwitch Caves because it's close enough we can actually go there and get personal accounts and then talk about them on here, and it'll be more immersive of an experience. But nothing against the people, because I'm sure they're doing it for a reason, but they won't open up.
Yeah, they're still closed down, of course, due to reasons for COVID-19, and they still haven't opened up, and I'm sure they have their reasons. And right now it's actually getting to the point where we're reverting back, if you haven't seen recent news. So that's okay. That's okay. There is other years to do it, but for right now, we'll just take account of its history and just believe that it's super duper haunted. So
That
super duper haunted. Super duper. I want somebody to take that clip and make a song reel out of it.
I got you. Oh, song, never mind.
Yeah. Or like a beat, like a beat. Have you not seen those videos where people will take certain little audio clips and then turn it into a beat?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
kind of on like a rabbit hole thing. I was watching a video a while back where someone there was this trending video of like a mayonnaise joke. I forget what the hell it was,
Ew.
but someone took made a dubstep version of the Patrick Star "Is Mayonnaise an Instrument?"
Is mayonnaise an instrument? Mayonnaise is not an instrument.
Hi, welcome back to the
Right?
Nickelodeon
Oh my God. If that, if
podcast.
anybody knows of a Nickelodeon podcast, hit us up.
Exactly.
I would listen to that.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Hashtag not sponsored by Nickelodeon. Only if only. A paranormal podcast sponsored by Nickelodeon? That'd be really weird. But anyways. So, like I said, but the Bell Witch caves slash farm, because it is technically a farm, is in Adams, Tennessee, which is in Robertson County. It all started when John Bell, who was a North Carolina farmer, wanted to move to Tennessee for reasons unknown. I couldn't really find a reason why.
I couldn't either.
He moved to Robertson County with his wife, Lucy, and his six children, Jesse, Betsy, Richard, John Jr., Drury, and Benjamin Bell.
Yes.
I don't think it was in that order, but that's just how I found their names out. It took a little digging to find their names because all you could find was Betsy and then his wife Lucy, but it took a little digging. But anyways, this land is approximately about 320 acres, and this land touches the Red River that does run through Tennessee. I about said Kentucky. That would have been extremely wrong. Everybody be like, stop, you did that wrong. It runs through Tennessee.
Tennessee.
So
yes.
With land like that, coming from a farming background, it being so close to a river is really, really, really good.
Yes.
So couldn't pass up on the offer. So they moved there, and for about 13 years, they never experienced anything.
Yep.
Not a damn thing.
No.
Which happens. There's some hauntings where that happens, where nothing happens for odd amount of years, and then all of a sudden something suddenly happens, and it could be over one little tiny thing. It's so easy. People don't realize how easy it is to get haunted. Very easy.
Hell, like, so any object at all could become a portal.
Yeah, literally any. You could go to an antique shop one day and be like, "Ooh, this ring's really pretty," and you take it home, and then all of a sudden something's attached to it, and you're haunted.
Yeah.
Like if you don't want the haunting, I always suggest to people, if you ever get anything that's borrowed, cleanse it.
Yes.
And then you should be fine. Now, that's not always the case, but cleansing usually is the first step.
Yeah.
But, you know, that wasn't the case with this family, because they had built their house on this property and made it their own.
Yep.
So there wasn't anything that they had to get attached to.
Right.
So during this time, John had become a deacon at the Red River Baptist Church. Say that 5 times fast. I did that while I was doing my notes, and I could not do it. Red River Baptist Church, Red River Baptist Church, Red River Baptist Church. I can't do it.
You failed.
I failed. I couldn't even do it 5 times. If somebody can do it 5 times, I need to know.
Yes.
You're amazing, and you're an amazing person that has great talent if you can do that 5 times fast. Anyways, since he had become a deacon at this well-known Baptist church, the family did become very well-known. So everybody basically knew who they were, not only in Adams, but just in the surrounding counties itself. So very well-known people. I mean, a farmer who has over 300 acres during this time, very renowned, and a deacon at a church, like, you're gonna know who they are.
Yeah.
Especially during the 1800s, which is when all this took place. So in the summer of 1817 is when all of these strange and horrifying events fell upon the family.
Yep.
They believe that it was because of a quarrel that happened, but I will mention that here in a second. So some of the children would experience seeing weirdly strange animals on the property, mainly towards in the woods and the fields, sometimes by the river, but it was mainly the fields and the woods. It was almost like these strange, I saw small pictures of it, of, like, you know, replica drawings that they made back in the 1800s. And a lot of them were like 4-legged huge beasts. Is what I saw.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. Like, yeah. I mean, it could be anything. And near that area, I mean, there could be bears, there can be bobcats, there could be bigger animals. But I mean, I would take into account that they could have been messed up animals.
Yeah.
It could have been supernatural messed up animals.
Maybe a cryptid.
Supernatural. And maybe a cryptid. Yeah. Why couldn't I say that? I couldn't say it. I could not get it out. It was in my head. I could see the word. I love cryptids. How could I not say that?
That was the longest description of a cryptid I've ever heard about.
It really was. My lord. But yeah, Many of the children who experienced strange animals roaming the property. Inside the house, though, they would experience a lot of sounds. Yes. So, like, chains being rattled and dragged across their floors. They would hear knockings from the doors and the walls on the inside and the outside of the house, along with a lot of gulping and choking sounds. So somebody, yes, like choking on something or gulping something down. And they would also experience stones being thrown on the floors.
Yeah.
Like little pebbles and rocks being thrown everywhere. Weird.
And they also, I found this out a lot, like, as well. I found this, they also reportedly experienced gnawing and chewing sounds on their bedposts.
Yes, they sure did. Which was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that could be a normal thing because, I mean, one, it's the 1800s, so it's,
yeah,
pretty easy for an animal to get inside your house. And I mean, a lot of food wasn't put in boxes and stuff, so you couldn't hide it away. So a lot of it could be sitting out, which could result in rats and stuff, yeah, coming in. But that's still pretty weird for, yeah, something to be gnawing at your post. If they didn't ever physically see it, then it's weird, which, yeah, I don't think they ever did that I know of. I couldn't find anything. So from there, the family kind of just suffered in silence for about a little over a year.
Until
John Bell just could not stand it anymore. He was like, I am really getting annoyed with this shit. Like, yep, I'm gonna have to tell somebody. You can only keep that stuff secret for so long. If anybody can, yeah, keep a haunting a secret, you're insane. I would be like, guys, guess what just happened? Guess what just happened? You can't, I don't know how they even kept it in for a year. He couldn't do it anymore. So he went to his neighbor, James Johnson.
Yep.
So John had asked him and his wife to stay the night at the house just to witness what's even going on, just so they didn't feel crazy in their own little world. They were, yeah, like, please come over, see if anything happens to you while you're here. And if something does, then we will feel less crazy. They both agreed. So why they went over, I don't know. If a crazy guy came up to my house and was like, hey, can you guys stay the night? I'd, yeah, be like, no, we will not stay the night. Thank you very much. But I mean, I guess they knew each other really well. I couldn't really, yeah, find much on their relationship. So I would assume that he was like, oh my God, my buddy John down here, like, yeah, across the field needs my help. Wifey, we're staying the night over there. We're going to go stay the night.
Most of the time in the 1800s or in that period or the era, you didn't really build houses like randomly throughout like a land. You usually had like settlements, so like, yeah, everybody around you more than likely knew for either business, friendship, or some type of reason. So, yeah, now, like, so at the time, it's like, hey, can you come over here and do something personal and stay at our house? Like, yeah, sure, I got you. But doing that in 2021, it's like, no.
Yeah. I mean, this was over 200 years ago. Yeah. So things are a little different now. Yeah. You can't trust these people as easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't just pull my neighbor and be like, hey, can you just stay over at the house for a minute? I don't even know their name. Like, I can't just do, same, that. I mean, they knew each other's names. I guess back in the day, there weren't as many people.
Yeah.
So, and of course, everybody attended church, like.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure church was, like, a major point in getting to know people. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody knew who everybody was, especially, yeah, John Bell. Everybody knew who John Bell was.
Yep.
So while the Johnsons were staying there, they did stay for several nights. Not just one night, several. And, yep, in that short amount of time, everything that the Bell family was witnessing, the Johnson family was witnessing. So they got convinced pretty quickly that this place was haunted. Not even just the house, the property itself was, right, haunted. And that includes the cave, that includes the field, that includes the woods attached to the fields. Everywhere. They were convinced pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So James Johnson was like, hey, yo, John, this is insane. I suggest that we get a group of people together and investigate this, because something is clearly going on that shouldn't even be going on.
Yeah.
So from that point on, they had conformed a committee and began an investigation. Yeah. Now, here is a fun little fact that I found out. One of these people, for a short period of time, one of these people was Andrew Jackson, who was the seventh president of the United States of America, which I found very interesting because, one, Andrew Jackson, if you don't know, isn't the greatest guy.
No.
He's not. I don't even know how he's on our $20 bill. But he heard word about this because Andrew Jackson is from the northern Tennessee area anyways. That's just kind of where he resided, and into Kentucky a little bit. So of course he was going to get wind about this. This is right in his area. He's like, ooh, I got to get in on this, guys. Cause he had to be in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he was he president at this time? This was,
I'm pretty sure he was. Yes. Yeah. I have here in my notes. If I scroll down a bit, and Andrew Jackson, the president at the time, he visited the Bellwitch Cave. He said once he figured out what the truth or what people were seeing, his own quote was, "By the eternal, boys, it is the witch." I don't know what "by the eternal" means. I couldn't find anything about it.
Pretty much means is like, yeah, this is a witch. Like, there's something here.
And then while he was there, he said apparently it was captured, or an eyewitness said a metallic voice, which I don't know what a metallic voice means, but I'm sure you do. A metallic voice was heard in the vegetation, and it said, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight." They heard that like as a voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that. That's pretty interesting.
It was a long voice. Like, a metallic voice was heard in the vegetation, and it said, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight."
Oh, my. That's pretty cool.
And once again, that's all we have is just hearsay of that. So take that with a grain of salt. But from what I did the research on, that is what was captured or heard.
Yes. When actually right before they arrived to start this investigation, him and his men, you know, they rode in wagons. They didn't really travel on foot. So all of them were in a wagon, and the wagon had actually stopped upon the property before even reaching the house. They could not whatsoever get this wagon to move. They couldn't get the horses to move. The horses got spooked. So they just, you know, if you ever been around a horse, when they're spooked, they either go buck wild crazy or they stand perfectly still.
Yeah.
So these horses stopped. They were like, "Uh-uh, we ain't going on this property. You crazy if you want to be over here."
Animals can sense way more than any of us can. So like the fact that they wouldn't move should tell you something. Just for
especially a horse. So the men got out of the wagon and tried to push the wagon, get the horses to move. They couldn't do anything. And then as soon as they could get the horses to move again, it was like a veil had lifted.
Yeah.
So some of the men traveled on foot and some of them got back in the cart and they were able to get on the property, which is probably when the event that you just said happened, was probably right after that. Cause this was like, as soon as they got on the property, that's what happened. Andrew himself believed that it was the witch that stopped their wagon, which, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
And when they arrived to the house, they experienced the event that you just said and a few other things, like the raps on the walls and the experience of the stones being hit on the floors, things like that, the creatures moving in the fields. And he claimed that it was to seem as if the witch was showing her best self to scare them all off. Andrew himself enjoyed the spectacle, of course he would, and he had claimed this beats fighting the British. So he said that visiting the Bellwitch farm and witnessing this witch itself, which at the time they didn't really know it was a witch, but I think later on, while he was like claiming all the stuff, he recalled it as a witch, because not too long after this, they figured out what was going on.
Yeah.
But to, for him to say, a general who did fight the British, to say that it beats fighting the British says a lot.
Yeah.
That says something. That says a lot. Because if nobody knows, Andrew Jackson was one of those people that, how do you put it without it sounding so mean?
Controversial? I'll let you have it.
Maybe, like, he was very...
I don't know where you're going with this, so I'll let you take over.
So, I would say he was one of those people that he would try to make sure he made himself look good.
Kind of idea. Oh, okay. Like, he...
So,
like real or not, he would just try to make it like all about him.
Yes. So okay. For him to say that it beats fighting the British, which was one of his accomplishments that he like gave everybody. He's like, yeah, I beat the British. Yeah, I fought the British. Yeah, I was a general in the war and I fought the British.
Yeah.
For him to say that says a lot about this haunting.
Yeah.
For him to even say that in general. So not long after this happened, a voice came through. This unseen force finally gained a voice. And it was a very troublesome voice that claimed to have many identities. But the one that stood out the most, that it claimed that it was a neighbor named Kate Batts.
Yep.
Who was a neighboring witch. She was very locally known as a quote unquote witch. She made a lot of predictions. She would help heal the sick. People kind of came to her for her predictions most of the time.
Right.
Or if they were sick. But I'm assuming this is all I could find. Nobody really knew a true reason why Kate Batts would be on the property haunting the Bell family. But it is claimed that Kate and John had a falling out as soon as he moved onto the property. For what reason, I really don't know. And she, from that day on, was like, I'm gonna curse this mofo. That is pretty much what she did. So I don't have any accounts coming from her end. Like, it's based off of this legend.
Yeah, but same.
A lot of people assume that it was Kate Batts, because the spirit would say, was like, I'm Kate Batts. Like, my name's Kate. I am your neighbor. And I'm here to do some shit to you. If I had a voice come out and was like, yeah, I'm your neighbor, and we had a small quarrel, and it's time for me to beat the shit out of you, I'd be like, what? What do I need to do to fix this? And they're like, no, I'm just here to hurt you. And I'd be like, ugh. Somebody had to really hate you to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, really hate you.
It's like, I've already signed the lease. I guess I'm fucked.
You're fucked, man. You're fucked. Well, that's what happened to John. John was fucked.
Yeah.
So the witch had a claim, had a be a, had, goodness, guys, sorry, was acclaimed in the community, as I just said.
Yes.
So for some reason, she was taking a revenge out on the family. So from that point on, this unseen force, or the spirit, was called Kate, or the Bell's Witch.
Yep.
So there are two reasons that Kate did give for being there. They're not very reasonable reasons. They're not very explained reasons, but they are reasons, she did say. This spirit did say. One reason was to kill John Bell. Lovely. For reasons unknown. There was, she didn't ever say a reason. And the second reason was to make sure that Betsy Bell, who is the youngest daughter of the Bell family, to not marry their neighboring boy named Joshua Gardner. There was no reason behind that as well. I don't know why she would have to do that, but apparently she did not want Betsy marrying Joshua.
Yeah.
And at the time, Betsy wasn't even close to being married off yet. So it was really weird for a spirit coming in being like, hey, you can't marry this boy that's right next to you. And it's like, why? I don't even know. A weird reason to even be haunting a family, but
yeah. And it should be by a obvious thing. The caves are located on the farm. Many also believe that when the witch departed, it fled to the sanctuary of the cave. The Bill Witch is coming, yeah. And then after 11 frightening after the witch supposedly fled or died, the witch vowed in 1828 to return 107 years later in 1935, and I really don't have much on that at all, only because that's all it said. I went to multiple sites, and it said that the witch vowed to return here, but no accounts of why she would return. Yeah. Here.
I have quite a bit of stuff that happens even before she even says that, or okay. Before that even happens.
Gotcha.
So I have a small kind of maybe theory okay. Why, but I will get to that. So
yeah. You're like, okay, just fucking tell me.
You're like, I'll stop. My bad. I'm not even to the year 1821, and you're like, okay, I'll stop.
Her fucking notes are so more in depth than mine. Like, mine are just have general topics that I build off of, and hers are like, I'm gonna read off every goddamn thing that I have.
Oh, I'm gonna make sure everybody knows every single thing that happened.
Okay.
I am the person to come to when you need the tea.
The tea.
The tea. If anybody wants tea, like Tea Tuesdays or something, hit me up. We'll have Tea Tuesdays. I love it. But so after she had claimed her reasons,
right,
the spirit had tortured the Bell family for the next 3 years, which was quickly becoming a part of their daily lives, which is really sad when that happens. So yeah. It gets pretty bad. So John and Betsy actually got the worst of it. The haunting, of course, quickly turned towards them because her two reasons for being there were for John and Betsy. Betsy got a lot of abuse out of it. She was pinched and scratched and hair pulled and beaten.
Yep.
Quickly. John Bell, however, would suffer from swelling of the throat, as if like a stick was lodged sideways in his windpipe. From this, it would lead to violent seizures, very, very severe seizures, in which the witch herself would threaten John's life and curse him till the end of his days. On December 20th, yeah, no, it's bad. That was for 3 years. 3 years.
Fuck that.
3 years of seizures, being choked, being hair pulled, being beaten. I'm shocked that a priest didn't like come to the property because John was a deacon, or like I don't know if they were too scared or what, but
and people are hearing being choked and beaten and I like stuff. The this is in the spiritual manner.
Yeah, the spiritual manner. We want to quote that, the spiritual manner.
Yes.
I wouldn't even want to step foot on that property if I heard all that stuff was gone. I'd feel really bad. I'd be like, I don't know what to do for you. But I would have figured that, you know, somebody with everybody knowing what was going on and like the neighbors knowing what was going on, you would have figured that maybe, just maybe, that somebody would have reached to a priest.
Yeah, tried to help.
Somewhere and help, especially since John Bell himself was a deacon at the Red River Baptist Church.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked that nobody wanted help, but I'm also not shocked at the same time. Because back in that day, a lot of people didn't think about exorcisms. You know, honestly, I don't even know when the first exorcism took place, but it went in America. I think it was in Europe somewhere. I'm pretty sure it was. If I'm wrong about that, somebody can send me an email or comment on YouTube. But when you would hear something about something like that in the 1800s. You know, America was just started. I think it was only barely over 50 years old. Barely over 50 years old. And if even to that point yet. We'd leave that stuff alone. You wouldn't think about it. They're like, oh crap, that person did something stupid and contacted the devil, so they deserve this. So
yeah,
I mean, I guess I could, now that I think about it, I could see why nobody helped, but also at the same time I would feel so bad. I'd be like, we've got to do something. But that's not how people thought about a lot back in the day.
Yeah.
Which is sad. On December 20th, 1820, Kate had finally done what she had promised. John Pell had fallen ill into a coma on the night of the 19th and had died of the morning of the 20th. John Jr. had noticed a strange vial of black liquid that was in the cupboards, into which he had proceeded to warning there is a animal death coming up. He had proceeded to give 2 drops of this black liquid to their cat, and the cat instantly violently died. I write a description that the cat flipped up in the air and landed on his back and instantly died. So
what the fuck was that liquid?
Nobody knows. I don't know. Oil. I don't know. Oil that came in the air. I don't know. But afterwards, a voice cackles through, and the witch herself, the Bell Witch, had a nickname for John, which was Old John. Why? I don't know. But she had proclaimed, I gave Old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him. John Jr. tossed the vial into a lit fireplace, and it is said that the strange liquid exploded and bursted into a bright blue flame that shot out of the chimney. So who
Interesting.
Knows? Who knows? To me, that sounds like oil.
Yeah, a chemical.
Like a chemical oil?
Yeah.
Which I don't know what they would have had back in the 1800s, especially the early 1800s, where anything like that could pop up. But it is claimed that John Bell had died of being poisoned by the witch through this weird black substance.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
Yeah.
To think that a spirit could just pick up this vial out of nowhere. Nobody knows where it came from, by the way. Like, they were like, I don't remember getting this at the general market or in town. Where'd this stuff come from?
And do you have in your notes whenever Betsy Bill gets married?
She doesn't ever get married.
That's not what I found.
What did you find?
I have here, part of this is what you've already said, but I'll read my point. Betsy Bill can continue to endure the spirits of abuse, and before running away, and after calling off her marriage at the time, Betsy was eventually courted by and married to her former school teacher, Richard Powell.
Oh, I did read that. I didn't go that far. How dare you? I know. Oh my God. I didn't give Betsy enough attention. God, I just proclaimed that I was so good at taking notes, and look what I did. I messed up.
And then right after that's when I have, despite the apparent abatement of the witch's torment in 1820, she left the area with her husband.
Okay.
Then my next thing is what you just said, the death of John Bell.
Yeah. So here's what I found. So Betsy soon later had been betrothed to Joshua Gardner, in which when they would travel to the river and the woods and the fields, the witch would follow them and torture them.
Yes.
Like just picking and teasing and shit like that. So she couldn't take it anymore and broke off her engagement in 1821 due to the accelerated haunting to her. And not long after the broken engagement, the spirit finally bid a farewell, claiming to the widowed Lucy Bell that in 7 years she would return. She never said why she was going to return. Of course, they, as they said, they claim that she just escaped to the cave, which is why the cave is so connected to the property.
And Olivia to return in 107 years.
No, the first one was 7 years.
The first, okay, I didn't have that. I thought to correct you on that, but I was like, you just said 7 instead of 107.
I got you. Everybody witness this. I got him. The first one, she comes back twice.
Okay.
Twice. You, let me lay down some facts for you right now about the Bellwitch Cave, sir. So, when
the only reason you know this is because you're closer. I'm going to blame it on that.
No, it's just because I'm that good.
Fair enough.
He gave up. Gave up. So after she had told Lucy about that in 7 years she would return, in 7 years the spirit did return to John Bell Jr., in which she stayed for 3 weeks discussing with him about the origin of life, future civilizations, Christianity, and the lack of spiritual awakening that needed to happen within the humans.
Okay.
And there was a few more things like predictions and things like that, but they weren't really worth noting because I felt like it tied more into what she was already saying to him, like about the origins of life and everything. So after 3 weeks, the spirit once again left, claiming to return in 107 years to the closest descendant of their family, which ended up being a neurologist in Nashville, Tennessee, named Dr. Charles Bailey Bell, who was John Bell Sr.'s great-grandson.
I did not have that at all. That's interesting.
Yes. This Dr. Charles did write a book in 1934, so a year before the spirit was supposed to return. The spirit was supposed to return in 1935. Yeah. That took me way too long.
It's like, you just add one.
just add it. I'm pretty sure it was wrong, something wrong. It's okay. But in 1934, he did write a book about the Bell Witch and the Bell Witch Cave and the awareness of that the spirit was going to return. But there was no follow-up. There was no public about him meeting the spirit after that. There was no follow-up book, nothing. 10 years later, after 1935, he did pass away of natural causes, I think. So from there, of course, like you said, people say that spirit actually never really left.
Yeah.
It actually retreated to the cave. Okay. Because today, people, of course, still experience things. They're still, especially within the cave and the house itself.
Yeah. And one thing I would like to point out, it's just the alleged theory of, like, the witch going to the cave. This has really nothing to do with the Bell Witch other than the reported concept of her fleeing to the cave. Have you seen the new Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It?
Yes.
You know how the witch plants the artifacts near where the hauntings take place, but she does all of her work from the cave?
Yeah.
That reminds me of that.
It kind of does. I didn't think about that.
Like just the general theory. Not the direct contact of how the hauntings work, just simply which in cave then hauntings happen in places. That's it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Since you say that, that makes me think, what if the, because there was no fact saying that Kate Batts was dead. So I'm wondering if she did set up place in the caves.
Maybe.
Or maybe she set up somewhere near, and that's why that area is so proclaimed to be haunted. I think there was something that said that maybe Native Americans did reside in the cave at one time, and that's why it tied so well to the haunting. So it's almost like they're two separate hauntings.
Yeah.
But within the same area. But I didn't find much on that. Today, they still witness stuff.
And one thing that I do want to mention, you mentioned that she would come back in 107 years, and this is basically the same thing, but just to give some people another insight of how well like it was known. On January 3rd, 1937, an issue of the Tennessean, which I guess at the time it would be a newspaper or like an article in the newspaper.
That sounds like a newspaper.
Okay, I just assumed because back in the town there was no online article.
No.
The said journalist T.H. Alexander raised a 120-year-old specter in his column titled "I Reckon So." He shared a fact that his writing partner at the time, Ben Bass, unearthed their research, and since its last reported appearance, the spirit, which in this case would be the Bell Witch,
Yeah.
would particularly certain to return in the good year 1937. So I
Wow.
like that. Like that's basically what we just said, but like. It like it was so like attracted to the general public that newspapers were even like caught on about it.
Yeah.
And also in the modern day, relatively, I didn't look at the specific date because, well, the art I it said the date at which the article was posted, just not when she particularly went and did it. But some like in the modern day now, there is a psychic medium. Her last name is Pooh or Poe or Pew. Pugh. Poe, Pew,
Oh.
Poe. Okay. TLDR, because this article was unnaturally long. She went to the great descendant of Betsy Bell, and she told, apparently, reportedly told Poe what actually happened to Betsy, what the truth of what happened to her. And she apparently told Poe the family was never cursed, the land was, and they awakened the spirits that was once on the land, which set the curse into motion. Apparently that's the truth. Apparently.
Okay, that makes sense. That goes back to what we said at the beginning, where people who, as the example of people taking something from an antique shop and bringing
Yeah.
it home with them,
And for
it wasn't
anybody
an actual object, it was the land.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And for anybody that's c curious, just type in Bell Witch USA Today. That's where I found it. And I'm sure it'll pop up. I'm sure it's the only article on like on that site. So yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not too hard to find. Probably not. Probably not.
But apparently to the great descendant, I don't know how many great granddaughters it was a lot of greats, but the descendant of the family of Betsy Bell said the family wasn't cursed, it was the land and the awoken spirits a part of the land.
Oh, see, that makes more sense than it being just a random haunting.
Yeah. See,
It
and
really
that
does.
also goes back to your theory of what if the Native Americans and the Bell Witch were working together in tandem, because that is a Native American land being cursed.
Yeah. And it could not even them being really working together. It could be just them doing two separate things but
Yeah.
happening at the same time.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
the animals being popped up in the woods and the knockings
Yeah.
everywhere, but the voice itself could be the
Yeah.
actual witch. It could have been two separate things happening at once, and it just ended up acting like as if it was all one thing.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It's kind of like a Bobby Mackey's, like in a sense, like all the different things
Yeah.
that happened in history obviously n never happened at once. 1800s, early 1900s, mid 1900s, but still now, if you like, when it comes to modern day only, the Bell Witch between the possible Native American spirits and the Bell Witch working in tandem in like in the same area with Bobby Mackey's, both mobs, and then completely different satanic slaughterhouse, and then a mother and a father and daughter being poisoned, like all that is working in tandem and creating this special energy. May at the Bell Witch. Maybe the Native American is some witchcraft is being formed, and that's creating
Yeah.
some energy. Yeah.
That's all it takes too. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. And I always tell people this. I believe Native Americans were, they are so spiritually connected. So spiritually connected. I would never mess with anything that was Native American.
Oh, hell
They
no.
are the spiritual masters.
Yeah.
You do not fuck with them.
And I got one more thing to bring up that's in my notes, and I literally titled this bullet point like 10 question marks because it doesn't make, not spiritually, just the way it's written. On the site where I found the most of this was in the last paragraph. Apparently there was a and for all the listeners like out there. On audio only, because you obviously can't see my face. This will sound weird, because I genuinely don't know how this piece it pie pieces together, if it does. But apparently, there was a Elizabeth Bell, and the way it reads is the main person involved in these hauntings was Elizabeth Bell, but she got the last name Powell when she was married. This is where it trips up. Wasn't Betsy the one that married a pal, not Elizabeth? And that was under a and that answer was under a question of where is the Bell Witch buried? And then, so in my eyes was,
Oh, yeah.
does that mean a Bell in the family was the witch? If, because under I typed in where is the Bell Witch buried at, like the actual like. Kate, the actual human. And then the answer was the main person involved was Elizabeth Bell. So I'm like, was Bell actually the Bell Witch? And then if and then she's and then Elizabeth or Bell or Betsy is actually buried in a cemetery in Mississippi.
Yeah.
So does that mean if that's the case, is the spirit still in the caves? Like I know that none of this makes sense, and this could all be wrong. This specific the bullet point could all be wrong, but I'm like, wait, if this is what happened, then this doesn't make sense. And if this happened, then this. Do you have anything to elaborate on that?
Okay, I do remember reading that, but I thought maybe it was a mishap.
Okay,
Because
that
I
makes
do
sense.
remember seeing, Betsy became a Powell, and I either Elizabeth, I wonder, did Betsy have any children? Do you know?
I looked up the history. I didn't look up specifically the children, but I looked up the family of the family of Betsy Bell, and the only thing that popped up that seemed credible to me that didn't look like a janky site was the site about Poe and her talking to the granddaughter.
Huh.
So that's all I could find. I may have not looked hard enough on this specific topic, and if I didn't, I'm sorry. But this specific point that just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Okay.
So Betsy was a name she went by. I think her real name was Elizabeth.
Do you know why she went by it? Like, was it because of the attention or?
I don't know. It
Okay.
doesn't really. I just saw a little I looked it up, guys.
Okay.
I just looked it up.
She makes it sound
I
so hard.
couldn't it's so hard, guys. It's so hard. I just have a special talent. I hope everybody is so annoyed by the my what do you call it? The preppy girl talk. Oh my God, guys, it's that
If
easy.
only we recorded the first 20 minutes of before each podcast,
Right.
it gets.
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. But I just found out that Betsy's real name was Elizabeth. I couldn't find if she had any children. There's nothing that said
Okay.
she had any, but apparently her she went by Betsy.
Okay, so why or why not, or the reasoning of her going by that name instead of her actual name, Elizabeth? Personally, right now, I don't care. If
Yeah.
that is the case, and Betsy is Elizabeth, and if this said point that I have here is correct, Elizabeth Bell is supposedly once the Bell Witch.
See, that's so weird because, like, you know, the legend goes, they say it's Kate Batts, who is a very well-known quote-unquote witch.
Exactly.
I wonder if somebody in the past twisted it.
Yeah.
And wanted to blame everything on Kate Batts, because there is nothing that says that she did it besides this voice saying, hey, it's me, Kate Batts. Your neighbor that you argued with one time, it's me. Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, once again, even if what I have on here is wrong, that'd be a good explanation. Someone just, you know, is like, you know what? Maybe it was someone in the family. And instead of having proof, they just went, oh, this is believable, right? And then they went with it.
Yeah, and that could be the case. Yeah. And if somebody out there knows that's like, yeah, Betsy, it was not the witch, and here's the reason why, email us, comment in the YouTube video.
Personally, Kate Batts' story and evidence is way more credible to me than the straight in mass one section of article of Elizabeth.
I never dove too deep into it because I just saw, like, oh, Elizabeth Betsy Powell. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Maybe there's another Bell Witch somewhere else that's not as notable. And maybe that's why it popped up. But no, that's correct, because I just looked it up and it's relating her to be the Bell Witch. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Why is that information twisted? Now you're saying that it's one of the daughters when it was a neighboring witch, quote unquote. So something got mixed up there. Something happened.
I have a theory, and it's not that interesting, but I have a theory.
It's not interesting, but
you know how with the demon house, the stepmom said none of this is true because she didn't want to have that bad name on the family. What if someone associated with the Bell Witch Cave, whether it's family or business related, tried to force the theory of the Bell Witch being Belle herself to her? So people would be like, oh, then yeah, she's down south. This land is safe now. So he makes it sound like the land's okay and tries to focus it off. Tries to put the bad name in Mississippi, not the bad name in Tennessee.
That's interesting.
Like, hey, it's down here now. Come to us. It's safe. And lie about it. Like like with the demon house. It's like, oh, this place was never bad. It's okay now. We don't want this bad name on us, you know?
Yeah. Or it could have been that when they... Did y'all hear that?
I heard that. It wasn't on my side. It was on your side.
No, it was on my side.
I heard it through head, yeah. It's not like something, a drug, like a nightstand or something, or a chair.
Austin might have done something out there. It's okay. Okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
You walk into your bedroom and, like, chairs are stacked on top of each other.
I'm like, oh, God, what did you do? What did you do?
And then Austin's in the corner just shaking his head, like, rapidly. You are not welcome here.
You're not welcome here. That sounded like something different. But
anyway.
Or maybe it's the same theory, but them being like, you know, like I just said, them focusing it on somebody else, rather than their daughter. Maybe they found out their daughter was doing some sketchy stuff. Maybe. Not saying that she did. I'm not saying that she did. But it is kind of weird that is twisted in there.
Or maybe, Betsy Bell. You know how, like, family members tend to name, like, daughters and sons after the relatives?
Yeah.
Maybe Betsy Bell or someone in the Bell family had a great-granddaughter or a great-great-great-granddaughter, and they named them Betsy Bell as well, and they are currently, or at one point currently, took over the position of the Bell Witch, and at one point a great granddaughter was carrying the curse and carrying over the practice to a later day, and then it's a younger Betsy Bell, a new Betsy Bell, I guess, doing this. Like a descendant that carried over the family tradition, quote unquote. Like the Betsy Bell the Third. was taking over the curse and controlling the curse that Kate Bat supposedly left behind.
Maybe, but then that wouldn't explain why it happened all of a sudden. I don't know. That's kind of there isn't any theory saying that that. I mean, it's a theory.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just like spouting out like this maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, that I'm not really sure. I don't know. It's just all that we know is that it. Sorry for the tangent of the many theories, but you know, it just it's very weird that they would say, "Oh, well, it's Kate Batts." Well, no, it is. Elizabeth Betsy Bell. So I don't know. Something is twisted in there. We will probably never know why. It could have been just misinformation.
But from what we have here, all I'm saying is the Kate Batts story and slash evidence is much more credible to me than this Bell is.
Yeah, it is. Me too. That's what I think too. Yeah.
But if that's all you have, then that's all I have.
Yeah. I kind of want to talk about the stuff that they kind of experience now. They do experience a lot of the same happenings that they heard within the house. So they do hear a lot of knockings and rattles and things like that. Near the caves, they do hear a lot of faint sounds like whisperings and yells and screams. Sometimes visitors will see dancing candlelights in the fields. Why? I don't know.
I can just imagine that. That's so cool.
That would be cool. That would be really freaking cool.
Imagine like down in the caves, like you heard like knocking and it just echoes throughout the whole cave and you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Or footsteps.
Yeah. That'd be really weird. That'd be really weird.
I am a sucker for ambient noises of any kind, but continue.
I'm a sucker for the candlelights, I think. Because I think that would be really cool to see. Paranormal event or not, just these random lights coming out of nowhere. But that's what they experienced there today. They did used to do tours there where you could tour the house and the cave itself. I think they do talk about a little bit of the Native American history that did happen within the caves. Right now they are, it says, temporarily closed. There, I've looked on the website, I have tried contacting, but I haven't gotten really an update on being like when they're gonna open back up or what they have for future plans. So right now they are currently closed, which is sad because they do give tours and stuff like that.
In the future,
they also do investigations there as well for people.
Yes,
and but they are currently closed.
And in the future, when they do open up, which due to the recent new news about COVID and stuff, who knows when that'll happen, but in the future, when they do open up, we can promise you this, at some point in the future, we will do a special, whether it's a special investigation, special video, or podcast.
Maybe
all three. We will definitely do a special something, at least a podcast, of our own personal experience there. And when that does happen, we will let you guys know. We'll put out a teaser or something for a cool little touch.
That's one of the places I want to experience.
Yes.
At least at some point, even if it is a few years down the line, I want to experience this place.
Yes.
But that is the Bellwitch
Cave.
I've been calling it the Bellwitch Farm, and I was trying not to call it the Bellwitch Farm because technically it is called the Bellwitch Cave, and I was trying not to say farm. Like, don't say farm. It's not a farm. But that is the legend of the Bellwitch Cave.
Yeah. I hope you all enjoyed. We are filming another episode right after this, so expect two episodes in a row when it comes to one weekend after another. Once again, for the fourth time in a row, that was the Bellwitch Cave. I am Trevor, Haunted Faith, and we also have here...
Lily, the one and only.
The one and only. Don't forget.
One and only.
don't forget it. Thank you guys for watching. If you made it till the end, we love your faces. And... any last parting words?
Email us at wethehauntedpodcast@gmail.com. If you have, we are wanting to start doing listener episodes. So if you have any personal hauntings or suggestions on things that we should talk about in the future, please email us at wethehauntedpodcast@gmail.com because we want to start doing listener episodes talking about your personal experiences with the paranormal.
And also, when it comes to how we plan to start out the podcast, we wanted to start out with locations that were relatively near us, if not by us. Then once we completed those, we want to expand out into the world more. But if you, the listeners, have a location that is near you and would like us to talk about a location that is near you, then let us know. It doesn't even have, you don't even have to include your own personal experiences if you choose not to. But say, for example, if you live in, you know, Rhode Island and you want to talk about the Conjuring House, which we will inevitably do. But if you want that to happen sooner rather than later, then let us know. Thank you for watching. And all of our audio only links will be down in the description below if you're watching this on YouTube. And
follow all of our social medias, Instagram and Twitter, hopefully Facebook soon.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. And we will talk to you guys later. Peace.
Peace out, guys.